Hello, Hospitality MD listeners. Welcome back to another episode of the podcast. Earlier this week, we released episode one of our two-part series with Josh Schreibe, Task Force General Manager with Hotel Equities. If you haven't heard the previous episode, be sure to tune in to hear about the underbelly of the hotel industry and all of Josh's crazy stories and how we can cope with them as an industry. Now on today's episode, part two, we'll be talking to Josh about his experience as a Task Force General Manager. Now, Josh is actually technically homeless. He does not have a permanent residence, and he genuinely spends his time living out of the hotels that he goes to help. So we're going to learn all about that and his approach to changing a hotel when he's only there for a short period of time. Now, if you haven't already, be sure to follow the podcast and leave a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. Hospitality MD is also offering hotel management, receivership, task force, and consulting services. For more information, visit www.hospitality-md.com. Thank you so much for tuning in and enjoy today's episode. You're living and working in the hotels that you service. So getting time alone, I'm sure, can be tough sometimes. So with that being said, why don't you tell us a little bit about your role? I mean, Hotel Equities looks like over 150 hotels in US and Canada, and seems to be growing quickly. Tell us a little bit about what you do with Hotel Equities.
Yeah, we're continuing to grow. Just partnered and joined with the Witness Group. So we took on an additional 36 hotels. My job is, as task force manager, a lot of people in the past have called it bench, you know, where you're filling in until they find a GM. I do not view my role that way at all, nor do I treat it that way. I am an impact GM. I come in and I'm the fixer. But it's my responsibility to come in. I get an assessment of what the hotel performance is like, and here's what they believe the issues to be. And then I go in and evaluate it, and I say, well, here's actually what the issues are, and here's what needs to happen. And then I fix it, and I get it, you know, as best as I can in the circumstances I can. And then I hand it off in a better position when we do have a GM. So oftentimes I'm there. On average, my assignments are 3 to 4 months. And usually they're at-risk hotels, you know, underperforming hotels. And it's my responsibility to move all the areas of the hotel, the performance metrics. So the guest service scores, the financials, the markets performance. So, and it's a lot of moving parts, but that's the part that makes it fun. And I can't come in there guns a-blazing, Gordon Ramsay style, MF and everybody. That doesn't work. I have to come in and earn their trust and motivate them and teach them. And that takes a lot more time, but it's much more effective. And I love it. It's not for everyone. I live on the road. I literally do not have a residence, but I love that part of it. I have a very nomadic spirit. So it feeds me to be in different places at different times, to get to know all these different people from different locations. I was in El Reno, Oklahoma, which is probably the meth capital of the world, but I met some really charming and amazing people there, you know, and there was some really fun places to visit there too. And unique things you find out again, I believe every place has some redeeming qualities. And, you know, at first glance, I was like, wow, there's a Walmart and about 8 different fast food places. But then I find, oh, there's this little place, Tutors, and they do, you know, all these different flavors of Dr. Pepper. And you go out there and just toot your horn. That's why they call it Tutors. And they come out from this little convenience shop and they have like chicken. And I mean, it's wild. But who would think that those kind of things exist? You know, and then you find them in these small little towns and you find out these things that they don't think are necessarily appealing. But as a traveler, you really enjoy because You don't want to eat at a Applebee's or one of those chain restaurants when you travel. You want to find those fun little hole in the walls that the locals go to. So they don't, they often just take it for granted. They're like, oh, this is just our little local spot, but it's the best. As you know, in Chicago, like if you send someone somewhere, you want to send them to your favorite little local spot. You don't want to send them to like Michael Jordan Steakhouse. You know, everybody's been there. You know, you want to find like, hey, you're going to go to Home of the Hoagie on the south side off 111th Street. You might be scared shitless when you go in there, but trust me, you'll be glad you did. And those are the kind of things that people love because they're, you know, they want that experience. They want the raw, you know, Chicago or the raw Colorado Springs or whatever it is, good, bad, and ugly. And that's the reward of the job. And then I get to come in and make impact. Like, again, it serves my bigger purpose of putting good out there. So whether that be for my guests, my associates, my owners, my corporate office, you know, that's my position. So it's a very rewarding job. I had a 2-year plan. I'm going into 3 years. I don't see myself stopping anytime soon yet because I've learned so much. It's like sharpened me like a knife because I've seen so many different markets and had different experiences. There's no one size fits all answer to everything. What works in one hotel may not work in another. So you have to be adaptable and willing to try different things. And that's the most fun thing about my job. And the most rewarding thing about my job is that I feel like I'm constantly becoming a better general manager, better leader.
It's the same chaos and that same dysfunction that has originally attracted you to the industry and that you've...
What does that say about me?
Right. I mean, it's the same, you're doing the same thing. You may as well be the night manager at that triplex right now because you're dealing with the same level of uncertainty, but on a higher, more engaged level than, you know, than the day to day. And it sounds like you're really in a great spot that fits your niche a little bit. One of the things that I find interesting that I'm sure others will is, you're there for 3 or 4 months. And for most people, when you start a job, that's you're slowly kind of dipping your feet in the water, doing your training, trying to figure out how the hotel operates. You don't have the time and the luxury to feel it out and get used to it and be reserved and be in your comfort zone. You're constantly outside of your comfort zone each and every day. And again, to your point, you as an effective leader can't go in and start, you know, uprooting everybody's existence and making it your way or the highway. So tell me a little bit about your philosophy kind of more in detail as you approach a troubling hotel. You arrive first day on the job and tell me a little bit about that process for you as you take on a new project.
Well, it's very observational the first few days I'm there. Like I'm just taking notes and getting to know everyone and finding out, you know, like say, well, what would you do differently here? What would you like to see done? And you always find that one person who's just resisting you, you know, and sometimes I'll go in a hotel and it's minor. I'm able to fix it. Sometimes it takes a long time to get that person to change. So I usually try to find something that's very important to them that I can make an impact. So sometimes it's as simple as ordering a new phone for the front desk, or sometimes it's a total upheaval of their process, you know, and trying to, you know, give them something that they need that's going to make ownership happy. It's going to make them happy. But once you have that buy-in, then you have that support system. And that's really what I'm trying to build first is a support system, because then I can execute my vision for the hotel and say, okay, this is what I want to see this hotel. This is what I think I can do in the next 4 months. But I'm going to need help. So where do I start? And I always start with the end result and work my way backward. Like, so, okay, if I want this to be like this, then what has to happen? And just keep working backwards till I get to the roots of it and finding that starting point. And that's where I begin. And in that time too, while I'm getting to know everyone, that's when I'm looking at data, you know, reporting performance metrics to see where we've been and see if there's any common denominators. Because sometimes a lot of it is low hanging fruit. And to pay respect to every general manager, my vision will be different from the next person. So what I look at as success, I may be overlooked a couple branches, but that's their responsibility. And then that's their stamp. So when they leave, I don't try to speak poorly of the general. I don't speak poorly of the general manager prior, because I don't know their situation. I don't know what they were going through. They may have just been turning their wheels. You know, I've been in that position myself where I just didn't feel successful anymore. I couldn't make any more change. And I beat myself up over it. So it's not about who's right or who's doing things right. It's about just finding a solution. So I try to apply all those in every single hotel I go to, and it's been effective. I've had some really great stories, and I've been able to turn around almost all the hotels, even make an impact if I wasn't able to turn them around.
So for you, it's important to, if I'm hearing you correctly, to learn the stories of the people that you're working with, right? And the team that you inherit for that short period of time, and then get a small win maybe for them that they can appreciate, get them to buy into who you are with that win. And then from there, once you've gotten to know them, you've got a win that everybody can appreciate, and they say, wow. Because I'm sure a lot of it too, right, is if you're working as a front desk agent, right, at a hotel that you know isn't doing very well, and that's why you have general managers coming and going, and now you have a task force GM, you are more than likely unhappy, and you know there's some sort of dysfunction, and you have your own vision. Because I remember being, even in every role I've been in, I always thought if I was in charge, I would do this, this, and this. And for that front desk who's not in charge, for somebody to come in and maybe get them a win that they wanted to happen for so long that they knew would help the hotel, for that to happen is maybe a ray of hope that illuminates kind of their perspective to trust this new leader who maybe there's been a distrust in the past. And now you come in and you're able to build that relationship, get them that win, and then kind of move forward with a bigger vision. For being somewhere for 3 or 4 months, how do you execute so quickly? You know, when you're dealing with fragile human beings and relationships, how do you go so fast? I don't think a lot of people would be able to do that.
I think a lot of people underestimate what they're capable of. I think if you put that time and effort into the people first, and looking back at some of the hotels. And when I was a younger GM, I wish I would have done that first and kind of taken that same approach, because I would have made a much more impact in a shorter amount of time. I think I've just learned that that's where it comes from. Because again, like you said, when you're that person at the front desk, well, if I was in charge, here's what I do. I want to hear those stories, because just because I'm the GM doesn't mean I have all the answers. That person at the front desk could be dead on with it. And if I can use their idea, then they're even more vested in the property. And I validate them too. And that, yes, you're absolutely right. This is how it should be. You know, it's because if you take that stance, it's not about being right. It's about doing right. Then it serves you so much better, because it's hard, because you have to be humble. And sometimes that's difficult, especially if you put your blood, sweat, and tears into a project. To hear that no one likes it or it's not working can be really defeating. So you have to be open to saying, okay, well, what will work? What would you guys like to do? And I think getting in and being able to make that impact and earning everyone's confidence by those little steps and making those validations of, yes, you're right, let's do this. And showing them, because I've had where I go in there and they've like, I've had 2 task force already, you know? And I'm like, I'm sure it's frustrating. You know, would you have liked to have seen them done, you know, or do? And then I, you know, just hear them. It's not my purpose to defend my place there or defend the prior task force managers. My task is to get them on my side and to get them to trust me. And if I'm defending them, I'm usually like, yeah, he's, you know, it puts me in a poor position. And I want them to buy into it. And I've rarely had to turn over a staff. I've never turned over an entire staff. I've only had maybe 1 or 2 people, but that's even rare, because I believe most people want to do a good job and want to be good at it. And if you just, we just have to give them the opportunity.
So tell me a story, if you have one, about one of your success stories. I'd like to get a feel, as I'm sure our listeners would enjoy hearing about, kind of what you inherited on your first day, and then kind of after leaving, what did that look like? And tell me a little bit about that, if you have any hotels that come to mind.
I mean, there's a lot, and that's what, again, is so rewarding about this, is I have a story for every property. I love the ones that mean the most to me. It's not necessarily the RevPAR growth, you know, those kind of things I'd say for a resume, you know, but the things that mean the most to me are employees that have developed, or that I see wanting to be in the industry or wanting to do it, or seeing, like, there's this young lady in Clearwater, Florida, of a hotel I had. And the hotel really has a lot of struggles, but we were able to build it. And I think we went from a 79 RevPAR index to a 125. Our GSS scores went up, and she had it. Like, I met her and I knew immediately, I'm like, this girl's going to be a GM. Her name's Kanisha, and one of the most naturally talented people I've met. And just to see her interest and her buy-in is so rewarding for me. And I don't know if this is answering your question, but to me, that's a success story, to see that she's carrying it on now that I'm gone, and still keeping those values and still trying to deliver that same experience and still trying to put those same processes in place. That means more to me than knowing that I moved that RevPAR index.
Well, so you moved that RevPAR index exponentially to a point where they were getting their fair share and then some of the market. Do you attribute that, you know, that metric, you know, that hard data, which is what I'm sure your corporate offices are looking for, and that's really what, you know, most owners are looking to see. So that's a huge success. Do you attribute that to the people growth that happened there? Do you think that there's a direct correlation between driving rate and occupancy and getting market share of that hotel and Kanisha's success and et cetera with the rest of the team?
And it wasn't just Kanisha's, it was a cumulative of all of the team, but she was the one who stands out the most for me. But the getting the rest of the team and seeing that I had the same exact staff that they had before. I didn't have to turn people over, and I was able to get a different result out of them by showing them new ways and finding ways to, I mean, I had like a really rough with this. She had such a strong personality, this one housekeeper, and she ruled it. But she was one of those people that she walked in a room, if she was in a bad mood, everybody was in a bad mood. And those people with those strong personalities, you have to influence them in a way that they understand that, hey, I'm not going to tolerate this, but I know where you're coming from. And I could see, and I could relate to that, because I used to be a very angry person when I was young, you know, and I had to learn to change that and develop it. So I had those conversations with her. I'd say, you know, I understand where this is coming from. It's coming from a good place. You're not wrong, but your delivery isn't right. And if you would deliver this, you look how you impact a room. And I don't think anybody ever said that to her, you know, and she didn't understand her power. And be able to say to her, like, you have this powerful presence where you can make or break someone. But she was the type of person that had to have an influential leader. If she doesn't, she would not perform well. Whereas, like, Kanisha has it. But if you influence her, she has that same power, but she'll just tenfold, you know. So I think when we take time and develop our team, and that's where I spend most of my time, is with the team and getting to know them and trying to show them and teach them as much as I can, because then I feel like then it's going to carry on and my efforts won't be in vain. You know, because I want the hotel to continue to do well, but I want them to create their own stories and to be able to continue and say, this was my success. So, and that's why I wish, I feel like more hotels should put more of that in, invest more in training and sending people. And it's sometimes just sending someone to let them go to the CVB lunch with you or something. Like, I thought that was such a big deal when I was like a front desk supervisor. Like, one of my GMs who I consider my best GMs ever. Her name was Joan. She let me go to one of those things, and I thought it was like the biggest deal. You know, most GMs dread going to those the chamber meetings and stuff. And I thought it was like such a big deal. I was so excited. But you don't realize that that investment makes such a big impact on someone, because I feel like when we get to certain points in our life, we forget what that was like. And I feel fortunate that a lot of times I can look back and remember what it was like. Even when you say like being a young person, like I hate the whole millennial Gen Z stereotype, because I've worked with some crazy talented and hardworking Gen Z and millennials. And it's not fair to marginalize people based on that, because I remember people were saying the same thing about me in my generation, like, oh, they're lazy, they're entitled. Blah, blah. This is a story since the beginning of time, you know, so you can't let that rule. You have to invest in people and give them that time. I know another, I just want to shout out another person who I think is immensely talented and is going to be a big influence. His name is Brett Ochepka. He was one of my operations managers at the Triplex. Just amazingly talented guy, and somebody you might want to interview him. He's a
right now.
I'll send it to you, because you will not. It does not look like it sounds. but I love those stories and seeing those people who've moved up. And he has that very grassroots kind of take care of your people kind of attitude, and it even inspired me. You know, and that's another great lesson for us as GMs to know, is that inspiration doesn't come from people who necessarily have been successes. It's people who build successes too sometimes, or your housekeeping staff or your front desk staff. Those people can really, when you hear them and they do something really amazing, you're like, wow. And then it kind of checks you and puts you back into the game. And I love those kind of stories.
So if you were to describe a day in the life of a task force general manager, and obviously I know you can't speak on behalf of your peers, but let's talk about a day in the life for you. You know, I think a lot of people, I guess, depending on their viewpoint, you either glorify it. If you've never done it, right, and you're looking at it from the outside, you either glorify it. Oh, you get to stay in hotels. You get to travel the world or travel the country, and you're, you know, oh, that's so cool. And you get to see all this stuff. Some other people might look, oh, I could never live out of a hotel, and, you know, not having a residence, are you homeless? Like, you know, people have these different stereotypes.
Yeah.
You know, tell us, like, what is your day to day like? You know, I know you mentioned you spend a lot of time with the people. And I know maybe some people make assumptions that you're curled up in an office looking at P&Ls and star reports. Like, what do you actually do?
No, that's one thing I'm terrible is the reporting end of things. Like, I'm constantly late with reports because I hate it, because I'm not an office person. And that's not where you get your results, to be honest. But that is my tragic flaw. But it's not like that. My day to day, I'm a list person. And I have I try to create a sense of order everywhere I go. So like my room, I have a very I'm not routine, but I'm routine in my setup. So like, I like some sense of order. And when things are in order, it makes me feel in order. So like, I set up my amenities a certain way, my toothbrush, all that kind of stuff. My clothes are like color, like it goes from dark to light, like just those kind of things. Creating that in every single room that I'm in makes it feel more like home, because I'm creating more consistency. So that's on a personal level, that's what my day-to-day looks like. On a professional level, I'm a list person. So I like to create a list of what I want to do in the day, what I want to accomplish, because I have my boss's expectations and I have mine, because sometimes mine is more appealing to me. So I got to make sure that I do something on my list. So it's more so like me planning out what my day is going to look like and only making that 20% of my day, because I know the reality is that a lot of my day is going to get hijacked. So if I can plan just that 20% of the day to get X, Y, and Z done, then the rest of the day I'm available for whatever comes my way. And spending time with those employees. So I really try to keep myself more open than having something scheduled every single part of the day, because that's just not the reality in our business.
So you wake up, right? You wake up, you get ready, and you head downstairs to the lobby. How does your day look from there?
Okay.
I know it's different every day, right? But if you had to generalize maybe a more average day for you.
So I want to read what happened last night. I want to look at the performance reports from last night. I want to get that out of the way, you know, and see what happened. Let's hear this story. And then, you know, go talk to everybody. Talk to the guests. Talk to my team. Because that's honestly the most important part. Know what housekeeping is looking like today. You know, I love spending time in rooms. I could tell, oh yeah, this room's got this. This room's got that. I spend a lot of time on the floors. I want people to know who I am. You know, I don't want to be that office GM. And so that's mainly what my day looks like. Like I'm all throughout the hotel. You know, I have periods where I'm like, okay, I got to go back to the office and do this. But for the most part, I'm not in there. I'm all throughout the hotel. You know, I ask them like, hey, let me see some of your rooms. Let's walk some of your rooms together, you know, and tell them like, wow, your pillows are great. I'm a pillow person. If your pillows aren't popped, like it drives me crazy, you know, but if they're popped, I'll like praise it because I want to keep seeing them like, yes, I love your pillows. They look amazing, you know, like and validating that. So they'll keep delivering it. It's all about just if you set that expectation and you're checking it, they're going to do it that way, you know? So like, or another, I have tons of pet peeves, honestly, but like when the bag hangs out from under the trash can, my first ops manager at the casino would say the panties are showing, tuck the panties. Like that was his whole thing. So
like when the lid is on top and you can
and the bag hangs underneath. Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
Drives me insane. So I check it every day. And I don't fix it. I'll fix it the first time, but then after that, I'm like, hey, the panties are showing, you know, and then they'll laugh and they'll go tuck it. And eventually they know like, oh God, Josh is going to see this and they'll fix it. Because my company has a culture statement, inspect what you expect. And this is one of the few that I've worked for that actually like live by their culture statements. And we talk about them. And again, it falls onto the property level GM to deliver upon that culture. But I agree with that sentiment, you know. So if I'm inspecting, and that's what I'm doing most of my day, you know, listening to the front desk and how they interact with the guests, or checking rooms, or you know, looking at a PM, or even just looking at a star report, you know, like I'm inspecting what you know I want to see, and if I'm not seeing those results, and how do we make it happen? Let's have a conversation. So I don't have a hard and schedule or process like that. You have to be open to change and knowing that if what you're doing isn't working, changing that process. Again, it's not a one size fits all. And I think that adaptability and openness to change, there is no what my day looks like. It has to be different every day for it to be effective. It has to lend itself to what the need of the hotel is at that time.
Your day, it flows with the people who are there and flows with the people that are
and the need, you know, and, you know, I have, like I said, there's that percentage of my day where I know I have to do X, Y, and Z for management, you know, or whatever. And that's fine. I understand the purpose for that. But to support my vision when I want for the hotel, I have to be there with the people and I have to be flexible and I have to be adaptable.
Thank you all so, so much for tuning in to another episode of the Hospitality MD podcast. We appreciate each and every one of you for tuning in and making the hospitality industry a better place. Remember, if you enjoyed today's episode, share it with your friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We look forward to seeing you back next week for another episode. Have a hospitable day.